With God's help, I would like to turn to the book of St. Luke, chapter 11, and read the first 13 verses. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, When ye pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And he said unto them, Which of you shall have a friend, and shall go in unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine is come, his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto thee, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet he, because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he has need of. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. If a man shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit unto them that ask him? I'd like to conclude that reading and last Friday night, there was a Bible study on prayer, and I was very inspired by that Bible study because that's what led me to this portion of Scripture, which we have read. The Bible speaks much about prayer, and here we find that the disciples were with their Lord and Master, and he prayed with them. But when he was done, they evidently was a prayer that they wanted to know how to do that. And so they asked, teach us to pray. And of course, this is what we have, what we know as the Lord's Prayer. This is a prayer that probably many of us have learned from the time we were little. Matthew records it just a little bit different, but it's basically the same prayer that we read here in Luke. And it's a simple prayer. No fancy words, great explanations. It's just a simple prayer, but he starts off by saying that we should hallow the Lord's name. Of course, that being the first commandment that we should live by, one of the Ten Commandments. The very first one is to love the Lord your God and have no other gods before him. And so with this, we hallow his holy name. And this is what Christ started off with. And then he talks about the kingdom, and thy will be done as in heaven, as in so in earth. And so it's just an instruction. It just teaches us how we ought to approach God and some of the things that we would learn to say. And then, of course, he asks for daily bread and then to forgive our sins and lead us not into temptation. And so all of these things work together towards a prayer that we realize brings honor and praise and glory to our Heavenly Father. We reverence Him. We hallow His name. And this is how we do it, by repeating this. Sometimes we repeat it. I know many times when I see the children come up here and they sing and then they repeat the Lord's Prayer. And of course, they all know it by heart. They have no trouble remembering it. But I wonder sometimes how much of that they realize that is really honoring God, hallowing His name, and what it means to Him, even when little children repeat this prayer. And so it's a very meaningful thing when we pray to God. And that's the thing that we talked about. Our brothers brought up many, many incidents Friday night concerning prayer. And so there's probably different ways that we can pray. What I mean by that is there's things that we ask for, there's things that we thank Him for, there's things that we need. There's just numbers of ways and things that we can speak to the Lord about. This is how we communicate with God, by our prayers. And then by reading His Word, He teaches us and communicates with us through His Word. But here we have an incident where he talks about a man. He says, if you have a friend and shall come to you at midnight and say to you, friend, lend me 3 loaves. And for a friend of mine has come and he explains why he wouldn't need these 3 loaves. But the man says, well, I'm in bed. My family's in bed. I can't give this. I can't get up and get it, no. But the man persisted. I need the bread. I don't have anything. You got to give it to me. Please give it to me. However he worded it, it's not recorded here, but evidently he was persistent with what he wanted, what he needed. And so the man, middle of the night, whenever it was, says, because he was so persistent, and it says he was because of his importunity. And that's what that word means. Making persistent request. And so he was determined to get, he needed this bread. That was all there was to it. And he wouldn't let up until the man got up and God got him the bread. Not because it was his friend, he says, but because he was so persistent. Asking, wouldn't give up. And so this is what I believe that we need to learn and understand and need to do as God's children, first of all, and those of us that even believe in Him, that when we pray, just don't pray haphazardly. God's not impressed with our just thank you, Lord, for the food. One person said one time to me, they sat down to eat, and so they said, well, I'll say grace. They simply said, God is neat, let's eat. And that was it. Not even much of a prayer. But this is what he said. And so, you know, God's not impressed with that sort of a prayer. He doesn't. And when we pray, we're not really trying to impress Him. If we read in Matthew, we see there where he talks about praying. And Matthew records about the ones that come and pray. And he tells us here, don't be like the hypocrites standing on the street corners where everybody can see you or in the synagogues where everybody can see you and you can pray. And you pray and pray and pray and pray. and long prayers, and it doesn't really mean anything, but you're still praying that men would see you. See, that's absolutely the wrong attitude. The attitude is what this man here did here. Persist in your prayers, ask what you need, and don't give up. And this is what he's saying here to us also. When he says, ask and ye shall receive. When we ask the Lord for something, we don't just ask him one time and then expect him to give it to us. No, sometimes we have to ask two, three, four times, maybe more. We don't know. But the point being that we need to be persistent. If we're going to ask, then be persistent about it. Be serious about it. Don't ask haphazardly. Same way with when you seek him. He's talking, and many times this is referring to unconverted people when they're seeking out the Lord to ask him to help them understand, to seek out his wisdom and guidance, to seek him for your soul's salvation. But don't give up. Don't quit. Be persistent. If you start down this path and you want to become one of his children, then don't back up. Don't give back. Don't look back. Keep going. Strive for it. Ask and ye shall receive, it says. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. And this is what it's referring to here. Be persistent. Don't give up on your prayers. Don't give up on your desire and your want to serve the Lord. Because that's when God sees your heart and he knows your thoughts and what he knows already what you're asking, going to ask for. But if he knows that you're sincere and you really mean what you're praying for, then you're going to receive it. Otherwise, you may never receive it. You may never see, you never find your soul's salvation. You need to persist and seek after it with all your soul, with all your heart, with all your mind, and all your strength. And when you ask, this is the way you do it. And then he uses this here for, he said, if a son asks bread for any of you as a father, will you give him a stone? See? No, of course not. Or if he asks for a fish, would you give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, would you give him a scorpion? No, of course not. And so he says, then ye being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? So you see, the whole thing here that we're reading about here all points to this fact that is to be asking for the leading of the Holy Spirit in your life. This is what I believe this whole 13 verses is referring to. And he gives all these examples. Be persistent. Don't give up. Don't quit. Keep focused on what you want and what you ask for, what you knock, what you seek. It has to be all together what your heart wants, what you want to do, and not do it half-heartedly. There are so many incidents that in the Old Testament where the children of Israel, they would come to the Lord and then they'd go back into their idolatry, and then they would come and they would go back. That's half-heartedness. That doesn't please God at all. He doesn't want that. He wants your whole heart, your soul, and your mind. Concentrate. Meditate on it. And follow through with your heart's desire, what you really, really want. And if you really, really don't want it, then don't even bother asking. If you're not going to be sincere, you're not going to be persistent. And this applies to our spiritual life as well. That we need to be persistent in all of the things that we do and claim as Christians, how we ought to live, the way we ought to, the scripture's full of it, tells us how. But we need to do it without hesitation. We need to do it seriously. And we need to continue. And we need to continue to ask. When it says here, how much more your heavenly Father will give to them that ask him, when do we quit asking? When we first come to the Lord, we become converted. Okay, now we're we're a child of God, so we don't have to ask. I don't think so. We have, this applies not only to unbelievers, but to all of us. Ask the Lord. And if you ask him, he will give it. He knows our needs, that's true. But he wants us to ask. Time and time again, Christ taught that. Ask and ye shall receive. Seek and ye shall find. Be persistent with what you want. And if you want the leading of the Holy Spirit in your life, this is what you need to do. You need to be persistent. You see, when Christ came to the well with that woman, and she was getting water, and she said, he told her that, you know, I can give you something that you will never thirst again. And she was taken back by that. And the more they talked, the more she decided, yeah, you know what? Give me some of that. I would like that. Well, it's not just, here's my cup, fill it up, thank you very much, now I got it. No, it's more than that. And so he had to bring to her, you know, attention, get her attention that, look, this is what you got. Go get your husband, we'll talk and we'll get this. Well, she didn't have a husband. Well, no, you don't have a husband. You had five of them. And she realized that, oh, well, he knows something more than what I, yeah, I guess you must be a prophet, eh? Well, he was more than a prophet. And when the more he talked to her, she was the only one and the first one that he ever actually revealed to anyone that he was Christ, that he was the Messiah. And when she learned that and grasped that meaning, then she asked, and then he gave it to her. And it goes on to talk about how she got and went and told the whole city about this. The men didn't believe her. They came out to see what it was all about, and then they began to believe as well. Because after they talked to Christ, they believed. And, of course, this all comes with asking, persisting, finding what they need to really do. There's also an incident where Christ refers to, it's found in Luke, the 18th chapter, and it talks about this widow. There was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man, and there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continually she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust said. In other words, she wasn't going to give up. She was going to be persistent. And she wanted her adversaries avenged. And she wouldn't let the judge go until he did that. And this is what he's saying. Listen up what the unjust judge said. And he avenged her. And so it goes on to say then, I tell you, and then it says, hear what then, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear them long? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? So you see, persistence is what Christ encourages us to do. Be persistent in what we ask. Don't give up. Just like this widow, she wasn't going to let that judge go until he avenged her. And God will hear our prayers. That's why he says in our reading today, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? So you see, when we become converted, we get baptized, and then we're baptized with the Holy Spirit. The reason for that is that we would have the Holy Spirit within us. This is a procedure that we do in our church. This is what we did, the apostles did when they taught. We can say how they done it. They laid their hands on them and they prayed, and they were sealed with the Holy Spirit until their redemption comes nigh. And so this is the practice that we do here in our church. And so with the leading of the Holy Spirit, He guides us and directs us. Every one of us have that need. But when we become converted, and that's the only time that we get to receive the Holy Spirit, is that the only time we ask for it? When we pray in faith and ask God that He would seal us with the Holy Spirit? No, that's not the end. That's only the beginning. And so we're taught from that day forth, never give up asking for the leading of the Holy Spirit in your life. This is something that is essential. You see, if we don't do that, it didn't take long for us to be on our own. We think we got it handled. We think we can do it. We don't say this, but it can happen. We don't need God. We don't need to ask for the Holy Spirit. We can handle it. It's all taken care of. No. That's not the way we should live our lives. We need the leading of the Holy Spirit. And so we have to ask every morning. Seek, knock, ask. This is what He's saying to us here. And that's not just once in a lifetime. To me, that's every day. Every day we have to ask the Lord, guide us through the leading of the Holy Spirit. When we come up here, when we come to church, we pray, the Lord lead us, the Lord guide us. Every time, we have to do that. God knows our needs. Why do we have to ask? He wants us to ask, and He will give it. But if by asking, you see, when you ask for something, you're acknowledging that you do have a need. If you don't ask, then you really don't need, maybe. Who knows? God knows. But you see, He wants us to ask. That then acknowledges not only to us, but others around us, that they realize you have a need. And so you are persistent with that need. We all need it. And we need it every day. It never lets up. Satan is there to try to destroy us as often as he can. And if he can get you become laxed in asking, if he can convince you, you don't need to ask. The Lord already knows. Don't worry. Just go about your daily task. You don't. No. That's Satan telling you these things. Because he don't want you to follow God. He don't want you to ask for God's help. He wants you to do it on your own. That way he can control you. If you're on your own, he can control you much easier than if you have the leading of the Holy Spirit. Because the Bible teaches us, greater is he that is us than he that is in the world. You know what that means? That means that you and I as believers have the Holy Spirit in our lives. And greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. So we have an advantage over Satan. We have the leading of the Holy Spirit. If, in fact, we are baptized with the Spirit, and if, in fact, we are led by the Spirit, and if, in fact, we follow and ask and seek the leading and the guiding of the Holy Spirit in our lives, we have that advantage. We have Christ on our side. What more do you want? And the only way that we can get that is through the leading of the Holy Spirit. You know, see, Christ said to his disciples in John, the 14th chapter, he talks about the Holy Spirit. And he says, I'm going to go away, and it sorrows you. But don't be sorrowful, because I will send you someone, I will send you a comforter. And that's who he was referring to as the leading of the Holy Spirit. He wouldn't leave us comfortless. He will guide us, he will direct us. He will send the Holy Spirit. And the reason for that is because the Holy Spirit is everywhere. It's just like God. It's the Trinity, part of the Trinity. God is everywhere, and so is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will never leave us nor forsake us unless we turn Him down, unless we neglect, unless we tell Him we don't need it, unless we, whatever we do. If we just be led by Satan, then we don't need it. God's not going to force anything on us. Neither will the Holy Spirit. But He will guide us if we ask and we seek and we knock. That's the key. And this is what it's telling us here in the Scripture. He's teaching us to ask for the leading of the Holy Spirit. And when Christ sent then the Holy Spirit, We read in the book of Acts where they had all gotten together. He told them to be in this one place, and when they all came together, then the Holy Spirit came, and it says it came and was upon every one of them, and they began to speak in tongues in every language that someone was there. The day of Pentecost, many of them gathered from all over the country, all over the world. They were gathered there. And every man that was there heard the word of God in their own language. That's because the leading of the Holy Spirit was brought to them, and it was taught, and everyone could understand what God's will was regardless. And that's the same thing we have today. If you talk in Serbian, if you talk in English, you talk in Spanish, it doesn't make no difference. God will still reveal himself through his Holy Spirit if you ask to receive it. And if you receive it, he will guide and direct your thoughts. And so this is what I believe. Every one of us has that hope and that promise that God gives us. And that promise that Christ said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will send someone. And that's who he sent, the Holy Spirit. You know, another thing we want to remember this. You never call the Holy Spirit it. It's guiding me. It's direct. No, it's a he. He is guiding you. He is part of the Trinity. It's not an it. It's a he. Remember that. Because when you talk about the Holy Spirit, it's a part of God. And it's not just it. It's he. He will guide you. He will direct you. He will come to you. And it's all about he. There's a big difference. When you just label him as it, that's like a downgrading. We don't want to do that. We want to acknowledge, we want to honor him, even as we read here, hallowed be thy name. That's the same way with the Spirit. Hallowed be the Spirit. It's God's way of teaching, way of guiding us, directing us. And so you see, this is the thing that I believe that you and I, when we learn to pray, we ask God to help us. And this is how we communicate, by prayer. Whether it's on your knees, whether it's standing up, whether it's laying in your bed, when you're driving your car, it doesn't make any difference. The Bible teaches us that we should be in prayer, pray without ceasing. You know what that means? That means all of your thoughts, all of your beings should be in prayer. Now, let me be the first to admit, I don't always do that. But when I don't, I find myself with problems. So you see, prayer is an essential thing in our lives. Essential. And we need to be persistent in when we ask and pray, no matter what it is. How many times we drive down the road and we pray, Lord, protect us, guide us, keep us from any harm and evil. It's a simple prayer, but it's asking. God will do it, but we got to ask him. We got to continue always, no matter what it is. It don't matter. You know, I remember when I was young and I was working on my car. I might have told you this before. I was working on my car and I had the transmission all apart. Got everything back together and I put it up inside, but I couldn't find this one bolt to mount it to the motor. Could not find that bolt. You can't drive the car like that. You got to have that bolt. That's all there is to it. And I looked. Where's the thing? Looked in my toolbox. I looked under the workbench. I looked on the workbench. I looked all around the garage. Could not find this bolt. I was unconverted, but I knew what prayer meant. So I stopped and I said, Lord, you know where that bolt is. I pray, tell me where that bolt is. I rolled over like this, and right underneath where I had this car up on the ramp was that bolt right underneath there. I got it, put it in, put the thing. That's when I learned what it means to pray. I had to pray sincere. I wasn't converted, but I knew what prayer was. And you pray sincerely, persistently. And that's what I did. Lo and behold, God answered my prayer right then and there. God don't always answer our prayers quite that easy. But he did for me that. And from then on, I knew if I need anything, if I want to do anything, I need to pray. That's part of your life. That's a part of our life is sitting down and eating a meal. Pray, 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 always. Always pray it. You're never going to out-pray anybody, anything. You'll never do it too much. No way. No matter how much you pray, when you pray from morning till night, it won't be too much. Never. Always speak to God. Always call upon him. Always seek your way, his ways for your life. And so, we can't expect too much more out of life if we don't turn to the Lord, if we don't call upon him, if we don't ask, we don't seek, and if we don't knock. All of those, he will hear us, and he will answer our prayers. Amen.
Jesus was a master teacher for his disciples and for the crowds that came and gathered around to hear his words. And in this chapter, we find his disciples with him alone. They observe him praying, and they desire the same closeness with the Lord as they see in their master. And they ask him to teach them. And Jesus takes the time to explain how to approach the Lord, to be persistent, to seek, ask and knock, and gives them the hope of the good gift that the Lord can provide in the Holy Spirit. It's a full meal. He took the time to answer the question, and we've been encouraged to take the time to pray to the Lord, to share with him, and also give him praise, glory, and honor as we draw closer to him and learn of his truth. May God bless his word. Amen.